only because I love doing that. Good morning, everybody. My name is Virginia Madueño. I'm the chair for the California Boating and Waterways Commission, and I will be chairing today's Boating and Waterways Commission meeting. I'd like to call this meeting to order today, August 15th, for our commission meeting in beautiful Truckee, California, and we are here at Truckee Town Hall. And as a reminder to everyone, this meeting is live webcast and can be viewed at www.calspan.org. The archive video will also be available at the calspan.org website. Before we get started with today's agenda and reports, I please ask you to stand in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Please take a seat. There has been a slight change to the agenda, and the boating safety course will be heard during our final staff presentation. Next, I'd like to ask Charlie Hesse to take roll call for the commission. Charlie.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
First on our list is Madam Chair Virginia Madueño.
Present.
Present. Next is Vice Chair Douglas Metz.
Present.
Present. Next is Commissioner Frank Peralta.
Present.
Present. Next is Commissioner Catherine Pettibone.
Present.
Present. All four commissioners in attendance.
At this time, I would like to introduce some of our local dignitaries and special guests. I will start by introducing Lisa Manguette, who is the State Director for California Parks and Recreation. Good morning, Lisa, and thank you for joining us. I also would like to introduce Mari Barajas, Legislative Affairs Director for California Parks and Rec. Mari, I don't know where she is, but there she is. Good morning. I also would like to introduce some of our special guests who are representing Recreational Boaters of California, and we'll start with President Ray DeRosso. Good morning, Mr. DeRosso. Also representing Recreational Boaters of California are Jerry Desmond. Good morning, Jerry. Ann Schilling. Good morning, Ann. And we also have Brett Gladfelty, and he's also representing RBOC. I also would like to introduce, I'm sorry?
Not
MRA, the Apex Group. How about that? That's the whole umbrella. How about that? Thank you. I also would like to introduce Don Kinnaman, who is representing the Santa Cruz Harbor. Good morning. And with that, we will now move on to introduce our State Parks DBW staff, and we'll start with Ramona Fernandez, who is our Acting Deputy Director, and Katie Cotter, who is our Senior Staff Counsel with the Department of Parks and Recreation. Good morning, Katie. I also would like to remind anybody in the audience, if you have any public comment, please fill out a form. It's a green form, and you have 3 minutes to make comments to the public. We'll now move on to the chairman's discussion and items, and actually I have a short video, but before I get to that video, I just want to say what a privilege and an honor it is for me to represent California Boating and Waterways Commission and really learning about all of the amazing work that this organization provides. And yesterday's tour really did provide a foundation and a real framework for us to understand the impact that this organization provides, the funding, the policy, and how, again, how many lives we are impacting in California through our Boating and Waterways Division. I have a video that I shot. I'm not a professional. I just have to put that out there. But it was actually to a site visit in Oakdale, Woodward Reservoir, whose venue supports and sees over 300,000 visitors every single year. And this is in my part of the valley. And to see, again, how impressive. Am I supposed to plug this in? You let me know, Bob. Okay. Just to see. Oh, okay. Well, the narration was really the best part of the video, Bob. But that's okay. That's okay. So I went out. I had a call from one of the sheriff's volunteers who said, we really would like for you to come out and take a look at our Life Jacket loan program and not only come and see what amazing things we're doing with it since we started this program 6 years ago with funding from Boating and Waterways, but we also want you to come out and see, you know, where we could probably improve and maybe make things a little bit better. And so in visiting the site and hearing obviously that we impact over 300,000 or have 300,000 people coming out to Woodward Reservoir, and seeing the Life Jacket loan program, and of course seeing the logo, I Love California, which was great, and seeing from the tiny, tiny little life jackets for babies to adult size, where we're having some need is for the larger size life jackets for our teenagers, who unfortunately, well, we live in California and fast food is readily available, so some of our teenagers can't use, you know, medium or large. They need triple X, double X vests, and that's what we don't have very much of. The other part is they really would like us to help them augment the signage and the exposure of the Life Jacket Loaner Program, especially as the demographics in California are changing and they're seeing more and more ethnic groups coming out to our waterways. Signage is imperative. More exposure and more outreach is imperative. And so I'll go ahead and start this. And so no audio.
Well, I don't know yet.
We don't know yet. Okay. Okay. Well, here we go.
Morning. Today is Friday, August the 9th, and I'm actually in Oakdale, California, Woodward Reservoir. And I am joined today by Mary Alpers, who I've known for years and who works for the Stanislaus County Sheriff's Department through the STARS program. And joining her is Chuck, who I understand, Chuck, you are the managing entity out here at Woodward Reservoir.
Correct.
So you both have been sharing some really great information in terms of the resources that you've had up until this point from Boating and Waterways. But perhaps if you could share again a little bit more with my colleagues, what else we can do to help, again, provide the resources that you currently don't have, where we can maybe save some more lives. And then, Chuck, if you could tell my peers, again, on the commission, how many visitors we get here in Little Oakdale, California, because I don't think people, especially in San Diego and other parts of the state, probably realize the magnitude and the scope of how many lives we really do impact here in the valley.
Yes, so I think the biggest thing we want to do is make sure we get it out to the public that we have this resource, because sometimes I think they don't understand. We have a varied amount of public that comes out here from a lot of different areas, from the Bay Area, Stockton, all up and down the valley, and we get over 300,000 visitors here.
Did you just say 300,000 visitors?
Yes, year.
That's per year. Okay, wow.
So that's a lot of visitors, and this program, I think, has worked really well. I mean,
so all these life jackets. When did the Life Jacket Loan Program start?
6 years ago.
Yes. 6 years ago.
This is our sixth year.
Okay.
The deputies of the Sheriff's Department, Stanislaus County Sheriff's Department, came to our STARS volunteer meeting, and having with tears in their eyes, discussed the dilemma of how impactful it is for them, big burly deputies, to pull somebody out of this water that's passed away, that's drowned, and because they didn't have a life jacket on. And they asked us if we would be interested in helping, and we have done that. Every 1 to 6 years, we go from Memorial Day, we're here Saturdays, Sundays, and holidays, until Labor Day. The county closes the park for water somatic contact after Labor Day.
So clearly, the Life Jacket Loaner Program has served its purpose, and you would like to actually see that expanded. I'm going to pan over.
to the wall where you say we really have a need. There's obviously some larger size children, teenagers, both boys and girls that don't have, you don't have the amount of life jackets that you could use and potentially could save some more lives. Because on average, I hate to say this, but how many deaths, how many fatalities would you say?
Surprisingly, with as many visitors, we don't have that many. This year we have
three. That's three that we should not have
but
lost.
Some years, yeah, some years we don't have any. You know, it kind of it has an ebb and flow. So.
But if we had an opportunity, since clearly we have a need here, we need some more. And then the signage, you also talked about signage, if we could assist with some signage, because
that would be wonderful. Post the big flag banners at various places within the park so people would be aware.
That would be very good.
Do have this year.
And probably in Spanish and English.
Yes,
I know a lot of Hispanic people.
What would you say the population mix is? I mean, obviously, I saw some Hispanics, but would you say that's probably the larger of the demographics?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
okay,
definitely.
So a lot of Spanish language material, Spanish language reinforcement to let them know.
Yes.
And then what's your return rate when people do check out the life jackets? Is your return rate pretty good? Is that something that we could assist with as well?
This year it has been really quite excellent. It's not 100%, but less than 10% of the return. But as Chuck Field says, if the people keep them and use them and they're saving lives wherever they are, it's acceptable for them to have.
Absolutely. Well, Chuck, Mary, thank you so much. I'm going back to Lake Tahoe next week, and I'm going to share this with my colleagues and staff from the Boating and Waterways Division and see what we can do to, or what we can do to help you out here in Oakdale at Woodward.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Well, so much for Maya. That voice, by the way, that's my smoker's voice. It really is great to go out into the community and again see the resources that this division is providing in the community. It really, for me as a commissioner, as a voice for this division, for this panel, it really does hone in for me why it is that we do what we do. I also want to share with my colleagues on this commission that I've been meeting with the city of Modesto. I think I shared with you when we were in Bakersfield last. There's a real opportunity in the city of Modesto to perhaps create an amazing water access point, and I'm so happy to say that both our acting deputy director Ramona as well as Mari Barajas from the state came out, met with some of the leaders, if you will, that are taking on this project, and we're getting a little bit closer. We actually met a week ago, and they did apply for some Prop 68 dollars, but they're also looking to submit a grant to this Boating and Waterways Division for some planning money to start really building the vision for the city of Modesto and tying in both South Modesto with West Modesto together and creating a real focal point, not only for Modesto, but for the region. So I'm excited to bring that to you, hopefully, as we get closer with a vision. And I think that's it for what I had. I also, for the record, would also ask staff to have us, we're in discussions already, but to have us schedule a special Boating and Waterways Division meeting sooner than later, so that we can get an update on the Harbors and Watercraft Revolving Fund. I think it's important for us to get a timely update and inform us in terms of what next steps are. So I'm asking Ms. Fernandez if you could schedule that for sometime in September would be great. And with that, I'm now going to defer to my fellow commissioners, and we'll start with Vice Chair, Mr. Doug Metz from San Diego. Would you like to report out?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you for the video. I really suggest that we can do more with our smartphones in our activities as we go out and and meet with staff. I've had plenty of opportunities, but I've just never had my smartphone with me or had the inspiration. Thank you. So some of my comments have already been taken. The special meeting that we want to have as we bore down more deeply to become familiar with the financial situation of facing the revolving water fund. Want to thank staff, Ramona and staff, for the really superb, well-coordinated, well-timed, great variety field trip that we had yesterday. We got a picture of the amazing background of this lake, the fact that it is one of the jewels of the country, if not the world, and the efforts that are being made to coordinate public safety and water quality, water access, and all the other things that go with making this place viable and sustainable with 3 to 5 million visitors a year that I've been told in this amazing basin. And also the Donner Lake visit was very, very informative as well. So I want to thank staff for a well-coordinated field trip. I understand from our acting deputy director at a conversation this morning that she will be making a report with respect to the status of the voter needs assessment study. I and former Chairman Randy Short were appointed to a subcommittee, and we had a teleconference a few weeks ago or months ago, and I just wanted to know the status of that. So that is on the deputy director's report. So that being said, we have a Marine Recreational Association meeting in Torrey Pines, close to home, so I've registered. I recall one of the most successful meetings we had was when this commission met coterminously with the MRI's meeting in Santa Barbara. It was mutually beneficial. The interaction with the stakeholders, it really was a superb meeting. So I'm hopeful and we'll make a recommendation that our next meeting be in San Diego and be in coordination with, in tandem with, the Marine Recreation Association. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you, Commissioner Matz. We'll move on to Commissioner Pettibone.
Thank you. I'd like to echo my colleague's comments regarding yesterday's tours. It was wonderful, and to see where the money has been spent and the impact it's making on safe boating out here is just phenomenal. And that was pretty great. And I look forward to seeing more of that happening in other regions throughout the state. So really great tour. I'd also like to say that I recently was a panel for a movie called Maiden, and this is a story about the first ever all women's around the world racing team, and it's a documentary. It's making the rounds through a lot of the arts kind of theaters. It was at Tower, I think, until Wednesday, but it may be other places, and I highly recommend you see it because it really brings back the fact that boating is men and women competing, enjoying the water, families. It's a lifestyle. It's a passion. It's more than just one thing. And obviously, it's really important part of California's heritage. It's part of our economy. And what we all do here is a small piece of bringing these kind of great stories to life that people can envision and go out on the water, get comfortable, start sailing, start boating, and then go on great adventures. So highly recommend seeing Maiden. The other thing I'll mention, and I'll have more comments for some of the other presentations, is it's great to see the boating card getting implemented in the safety courses out there. I recently just lost a friend to a boating accident where it was a sail power vessel interaction. Not in this state, thankfully, but I thought to myself, thank goodness that we are starting to educate people. And that did get me looking at our modules, and I think there's some work to be done because sailboats are also getting faster. There's these new things called foiling. And so I think there's just a lot to be done as far as educating people so that we don't see these types of accidents. Of course, this was probably going to be clear-cut where the powerboater just simply wasn't looking and hit them. But it's certainly something that, you know, we do these grants with our law enforcement, and the education piece or advertising is so important, and I really think it helps make all the interactions on the water better. And so I look forward to seeing the evolution of that.
Excellent. Thank you. Commissioner Peralta.
Y'all stole my words. Well, I just want to say that I live in San Diego, and I have the opportunity of going up and down the coast and in the cities. I can say this, the bays and the beaches are being utilized by everybody. All type of watercrafts are being used. And the main thing that I see all over is signs for safety, life jackets, and on the radio and TV, there's a lot of announcements that the advertising department put together regarding drowning. They say drowning, it catches your eye, it catches your ear, and then the advertisement comes on and you sort of follow it. But I know that in San Diego, water safety is one big major issue. So I want to thank Steph for the great job that you're doing. And Charlie, thank you very much, and everybody else. What a great tour it was, and it's beautiful up here. Thank you.
Thank you, commissioners. And again, we appreciate your commitment to the Boating and Waterways Commission, and of course, your expertise and your always your passion for giving back to the community. And yes, I can't echo enough. Yesterday's tour was by far probably one of the best ones we've had. It was very comprehensive. Again, I want to thank Ramona, to you, to the entire staff. Thank you so much for your dedication, your commitment, and just for making sure that everything is taken care of. I always feel like we're so well taken care of. It's just too bad that you didn't take care of my suitcase that was stolen. But that didn't happen here. It happened in Modesto. So we're good. At this time, I would actually like to call on Acting Deputy Director Ramona Fernandez, who will present the division updates.
So good morning, and thank you, Madam Chair. First, I want to update the Commission on administrative updates to the division. So as you were introduced yesterday, we have new staff, and we're excited about that. Megan Russell joined us as our administrative assistant, and she's going to be a key person in helping with managing the Commission moving forward, also with Charlie. She'll support the commission. We'll also get some support from our executive office, Sonia Jones, who will kind of join in and help with commission planning as well. So we're really excited about additional help for commission planning. I also want to acknowledge the outstanding work of Joanna Andrade. She stepped up while we were backfilling this position. Charlie, as we all heard, has been instrumental in helping and assist with commission work as well. Another new face to the division is Deborah Holmes. She's a new staff service manager. She'll be assisting Karen Dill in our loans and grants unit. And Deborah comes to us from the Department of Consumer Affairs, and she has a very deep grants background. So we're excited to welcome her to DBW. With new hires, we also have some that have moved on. So I wanted to mention Lisa Fernandez, who managed our Clean Vessel Act and our Boating Infrastructure Grant programs known as CVA and BIG, and John O'Brien, who was instrumental in our senior environmental specialist from our aquatic invasive species program, both accepted positions with our off-highway motor vehicle recreation division. Crystal Olson, who manages our grants from the our contracts for our administrative services office, has accepted a position within the department at our facilities and a development unit. So we hope to fill these positions soon. Joanna Andrade, who manages our financial aid program, will continue managing that program, but she will also be managing the boating accident report program. And as part of the reorganization, DBW transitioned all of our grant programs under the leadership of Karen Dill. So our law enforcement equipment grants will reside within the loans and grants unit and be managed under Johanna Naughton. In addition, in response to our department's transformation and the goals of eliminating potential conflicts in our conflicts of interest in our grants program, we have now implemented a new grant selection process for all of our grants. So really, we're really excited about the addition that Karen has with all the new processes that we're looking at in our grant program. Let's see. Click, it's not clicking. Do you want to just do it for me? Catch up. I'll keep talking. So, Chairman Metz, in terms of our boating facility needs assessment, we have finalized the report, and it is now in the review of the division. The division has now started that review process. As we all know, it's a large document, so it's taking us a little bit more time than we anticipated. And once we get through that process, our goal is to present this this report to the commission at the November meeting. I would like to thank you, Vice Chair Metz, and our previous chair for your invaluable input and your time dedicated to helping us review this document. So thank you. Regulations. The department has been prioritizing all of our regulations for many of our programs, and we've been keeping everyone updated on the California Boater Card. Recently, we received notification from the Office of Administrative Law that there were some recommended modifications to our package. So once we just received those probably the last day or two. So we still have to dive in to those and see what that means, and probably have to go through the process again. I'm sure it'll go through another review process, the 15-day review process for that. You'll hear more about our voter card program and a later update from our manager over the education unit. One of the other programs that we're looking at in terms of regulations is pursuant to AB 865, we're currently promulgating regulations for the yacht and ship licensing and fee increase. And that also included language for us, for the division, to establish fees for our for-hire program. Our for-hire program has been historically free of charge. The division continues to revise and update our Quagga Zebra and Mussel grant regulations. So that's another program that we're in the process of updating regulations on. And just a quick update on our aquatic invasive plant control program. Performance measurement, monitoring, and tracking is now part of the aquatic invasive plant control program. And we're in full swing this year with this program. As you can see, to date, the areas of acreage that we've been treating. DBW continues to collaborate with the U.S. Department of Agriculture to adapt to the new biological opinion from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Services. Our reorganization. So I'm happy to report that since our May commission, that divisions of Boating and Waterways transition has been successfully complete. Our Boating Outreach and Education Unit, our Media and Publications, Oceanography, and our Boating Safety and Enforcement Units transitions have been completed. As I mentioned on our tour yesterday, the division will continue to maintain policy and program management in all of these expanded programs. So as you heard from Assistant Chief of the Law Enforcement and Emergency Services Division yesterday, Scott Elliott, there's continued communication between myself and the division of Lee's, who's taking on some of the law enforcement boating programs. Stacy Yankee, the manager of interpretation and education for the Division of Park and Rec Services, I think that's the new name, Division, has been participating in our commission meetings. She's also there. All of these programs that have an extended boating program now part of their division fully support the mission of our division. Another addition to the division is that we'll be bringing on a Staff Service Manager 3 position to serve as the California Boating Law Administrator and to manage also the day-to-day operations of the division's programs. This will kind of allow the Deputy Director to effectively communicate out to the boating community and to our external partners. Again, as I mentioned, consistent communication between the divisions and all programs has been positive and ongoing. Reorganization of any department isn't an easy task. You know, however, you know, this department has been actively involved in a very successful organizational change. So we are now in the very early stages of introducing the scope and framework for the department's strategic operations plan. This plan will be developed over the next, I believe it's 18 months. Steve Zaley, who many of you may have remembered, has been instrumental in our department's transformation efforts, will be the project manager over this operations plan. So we hope to invite Steve at our next commission meeting in November to provide the commission with a more in-depth discussion and presentation on the next steps of where the department is going with the strategic plan. Just a quick update on the governor's budget. This is directly from the governor's budget. These dollars represents the funding from the acts of 18 and 19. So as you can see, there's not much change between the budget years. This gives you a little bit more in depth of our operations plan within the division. As you know, the state operations funding remains mostly unchanged from 1819 to 1920. And again, these funds are used to support staff and programs such as, the programs identified on the screen. In terms, just a little bit more in depth of the CAP outlay and local assistance programs. Again, you know, as we all know, the division is dedicated to reinforcing the mission by providing funding opportunities for California's local, state, and our nonprofit organizations. The Budget Act of 2019 is pretty consistent from the prior year Budget Act. CAP outlay funding. CAP outlay is also project-based, and the projects listed on my next slide are continuous of previously approved projects that mitigate potential public safety risks. And here's the three projects that were identified in the budget this year. And that completes my report. I do want to comment, though, Madam Chair, on your request. I have duly noted the request for an additional commission meeting to solely discuss the Harbors and Watercraft Evolving Fund, continued discussions from our May commission, where our Deputy Director, Will Schaffsna, provided an in-depth update on where we are on the Harbors and Watercraft Fund. So will be planning that meeting and obviously getting that the save the date out as quickly as we can.
Perfect. Thank you.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Yes. Thank you very much, Ramona, for that very comprehensive report. Two or three comments or questions. Number one, I know we had talked about at our last meeting the possibility really of two meetings. One, a small group interacting with the department itself with respect to getting technical information about the history and so forth. And then, of course, a meeting of the commission itself to take that information, think about it, and of course, relay back to our constituents. So I just want a clarification regarding the department's plan with respect to the dealing with this issue as it interfaces with the division.
So, duly noted. Thank you.
Okay. Second, I was intrigued by some of the questions that administrative law raised regarding the voter card. I don't want to intrude on current, you know, legal discussions, but many of us are always talking with voters about the voter card. So if there's anything you can mention regarding any perhaps administrative defects so far, that would be very, very helpful. If not, I'll just let that occur as a later issue. And I do want to ask our chair, who's been so active, so articulate for so long with respect to the problems that have arisen from time to time with the aquatic weeds control. I know she's appeared at various public bodies in the Delta area that affect the Central Valley. And I'm just wondering what your thought is, Madam Chair, with respect to way things are going in terms of control, number one, the disposition of the harvesting from that control, etc.
You know, when I don't get any calls from Stockton, California, I think that's a really good sign. And actually, I have not had many calls. Actually, I will correct myself. We did get a call, quite a frantic call, from the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce that was scheduling a big launch for the statewide Hispanic Chamber convention that's coming to Stockton, California. And they noted that there was some areas of concern, but I'm going to tell you, I went out there and they were nothing compared to what we've been seeing over the last 5 years. So I'm going to say from my perspective, this division has actually done a really good job. So kudos to those who have been in charge, and to obviously to Ramona Fernandez, our acting deputy director, for the leadership, because I can see we've made some clear headway. And like I said, if I'm not getting any calls from Stockton or seeing any news segments on KCRA3 or others, I think that's a really good indication that we've made some incredible headway in that area. Would you agree?
Yes, definitely. Yes, and ditto. Same thing. When we don't hear from our deputy director, Gloria Sandoval, from the media, or myself getting calls, yes.
I just remember being at a Stockton city council meeting and going out to the Delta and meeting with some of the stakeholders, and it was bad. I mean, the situation was pretty grave. So, no, I think we've made some tremendous headway. So thank you for asking that question. I think it's always a good reminder for us to check, you know, how are the resources being spent and are we tackling the problem? And so I think it's important for us to keep these topics top of mind, and sometimes we don't hear about them, but why? Why aren't we hearing about them? So again, thank you for reminding us.
And Ramona, this has been a constant problem and struggle for your immediate predecessors going about two or three back, really. This is an amazing development, so kudos to all. Just one last comment. I'm delighted that Steve Zaley will be consulting and be with the division to help develop the strategic plan. I think that's great and look forward to seeing progress reports on that. Thank you.
Are there any other comments from the report?
Just another quick comment, Commissioner Metz, on the California Motor Car Regulations. You know, we literally got the notification from the Office of Administrative Law right before this commission meeting, so we haven't even been able to look at what those may be. So,
I just have a quick follow-up with regard to the voter cards. How many have we actually issued since its inception? Do we have a ballpark? Thank you. Thank you. Sorry, I'm feeding you to the punch there. Repeat the number, please. 33,847. 33,847. Bob is my new best friend out there. At this time, we will now hear from Deputy Director of Communication and Marketing, Ms. Gloria Sandoval, who will present the DBW Communications and Marketing Update.
Excuse me, Madam Chair. Right before Gloria goes on, I do need to do a legislative update.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Yes. My bad.
Okay.
Gloria, you can stay down. We'll call you back up.
So, legislative update. This report provides summary excerpts and status on bills that affect the Division of Boating and Waterways. Information contained in this report is accurate as of July 12th. The administration and or this department have not taken any official position on these bills. Assembly Bill 834, Safe Recreational Water Use Standards, Freshwater and Estuarine Harmful Algae Bloom Program. Summary, this bill would require the State Water Resources Control Board to establish Freshwater and Estuarine Harmful Algae Bloom Program in consultation with the Department of Parks and Recreation and other state agencies to coordinate statewide efforts to protect water quality and public health from algae bloom toxins as defined. The status is its Senate Appropriation Committee hearing, Senate Environmental Quality Committee passed 7 ayes, no noes. Assembly floor passed 71 ayes and no noes. Assembly Appropriation and Committee passed 13 ayes, no noes. Assembly Water Parks and Wildlife Committee passed 13 ayes and no noes. Assembly Bill 835, Recreational Water Use Standards, Harmful Algae Bloom. This bill failed in committee and is now in a two-year bill. Assembly Bill 1183, Vessel Operator Definition. This bill would revise the definition of operator to mean the person aboard a vessel who meets the following. One, is steering the vessel while underway. Two, is responsible for the operation of the vessel while underway. Or three, is at least 18 years of age and who is attentive and supervising the operation of a vessel by a person between the ages of 12 and 15 as specified. Status, it was chaptered. Senate floor passed 39 ayes, no noes. Senate Transportation Committee passed 11 ayes, no noes. Assembly floor passed 77 ayes, no noes. Assembly Appropriations Committee passed 18 ayes, no noes. Assembly Transportation Committee passed 15 ayes, no noes. Assembly Bill 1387, Sport Fishing License, 12 consecutive month license. This bill failed in committee deadline and is a two-year bill. ACR 81, that completes my report.
Great. Thank you so very much. Any other questions of our acting deputy director? Seeing none, we will now call on Deputy Director of Communications and Marketing, Gloria Sandoval, who again will present the DBW Communications and Marketing Update. Good morning.
Hang on. Did the director want to speak beforehand? No? Okay. Well, good morning, Madam Chair, Commissioners, and members of the public. My name is Gloria Sandoval, and I'm the Deputy Director of Marketing, Communications, and Marketing Division. That's the good news that I want to share with you today. All of the efforts regarding communications and marketing, they're under a new umbrella, and it's the Communications and Marketing Division. I'm really excited to lead this really talented group of people to help support all the talented people out there in the field in our divisions. It's amazing when I go out to the field or talk to our divisions. People are, our staff, they're very creative. They're very dedicated. So our responsibility in this new division is to support those efforts. Excuse me, and also seek other ways of enhancing their efforts and engaging primarily the public. Right now, your team includes information officers. We have two of them right now, and hopefully soon we'll be hiring two more. There's some editors that help with publications, and then just, you know, just in general with anything that has to do with any writing in the department. We have a couple of graphic artists, a photographer, videographer. The videographer is fairly new, and we're really excited to have him on board. And then we also have a marketing specialist, and hopefully we'll hire another one. The good news for Boating and Waterways is that this marketing specialist has been working with Boating and Waterways for a number of years, and her name is Jolene King, and she's here. She's going to really be helping us and has already been helping us really enhance the department's marketing efforts. She has a lot of years of experience with the media campaigns, and she's been with us for 12 years, but with a new division, I think about 2 months, and she's already made an impact. So we're really happy to have her with us. And just really help us out. One of the key things before I go into some of our accomplishments, and it was said earlier today, that constant communication with the Deputy Director of Boating and Waterways, that's going to be key. And not only with them, but all the deputy directors. Because this new division is not only for headquarters, this new division is going to help everybody in the department, including the divisions. And I have Ramon and I talk on a very regular basis. She's always telling me what the new trends in boating are. I'm always seeking her advice and vice versa on many things, including the aquatic invasive program. So we're really happy to have this division on board, and I'm really looking forward to see how much more we could really help the department in its marketing and communication efforts. We've had a lot of accomplishments, but I'm not going to be here to say all of them, just a couple of them. We have the Save the Ones You Love and Clean Boating campaigns. We have a new recruitment effort, and it's Live the Parks Life. We also helped out Oceano Dunes State Vehicular Recreation Area. They've been having some safety issues, so we've really been helping them with that campaign. We've also been able to do some videography projects, not only with a professional videographer, but as the commissioner with her own phone, we've been doing the same thing with staff. Whenever possible, these phones now, they take some great videos. So whenever possible, we also help staff with their video projects. Promoting commission meetings and our weekly digest. So I'll go a little bit deep into these projects. That way you have at least a very high level understanding of what they are. So the Save the Ones You Love campaign, that also incorporates a clean boating aspect. These campaigns have been extremely successful, especially the Save the Ones You Love campaign. The life jacket wear rates have been, you know, really high up there, and staff could discuss that a little bit further with you, but I just wanted to share with you that one of the roles in the Communications and Marketing Division is to provide guidance to staff that are working on different media campaigns such as these, and also convey that information to the department, to the public, to our agency, and even the governor's office. That way they're aware of our efforts and how successful they've been. One of the things that we do with the safety media campaign is that we not only concentrate on life jackets, although that's one of the primary messages. We also encourage people not to drink alcohol. And as you could see on the screen, there's an ad, I Boat Buzz Free. That our campaign was adjusted with the heart logo to really encourage people not to drink alcohol, especially in the month of June over the Operation Dry Water weekend. So hopefully, you know, people are paying attention. I know the accidents, don't know the exact number, but I know that they're lower this time of the year compared to last year. So that's a really, really good sign. On social media, we push out all these hashtags. Hashtag, you know, save the ones you love, life jacket save lives, boating clean and green, and Operation Dry Water. So whenever possible, we really try to, you know, expand that online community and help us promote these safety messages. Now, the Live the Parks Life campaign. This is a new recruitment effort from the department. It's been really successful. Our main focus initially was the recruitment of rangers and lifeguards, just because many of them are retiring and we just need to replace them. But it's been really successful. This was the second year, and we, you know, it's a good sign when you get more applicants than what you actually, you know, propose your goal to be. So it's really, really good. One of the things you'll notice, there's this cartoon kind of background graphics. This one that I just clicked on, it has a boat. And everybody's wearing a life jacket. And that's one of the things that we do in the department, that whenever we can, and if there's any boating activities, that people remember to put those life jackets on. It's just a reminder for the public to wear them. And then we're not only hiring rangers and lifeguards, there's a variety of positions in the department. So little by little, we'll be adding some more. Right now, what we were trying to recruit were some maintenance workers, and that's an image of one of those maintenance workers. And then this background that you see here on the last image on the bottom right-hand side, that's MacArthur Burney Falls. People recognize those falls, and that's why we thought it would be a really nice touch to the campaign. And a perfect example of how this Live the Parks Life campaign is helping the department's efforts. Earlier this year, during the beginning of the summer season, we actually were held a number of media availabilities, not only to promote the boating and water safety message, but also the recruitment. And this picture, you have people from headquarters, boating and waterways, recruitment, rangers, lifeguards, even a videographer. So this is an example of how everybody is working together. We're not working in silos. Everybody's working together and making sure that we're sharing the same message. And it was really successful because even the media outlets, we had a media availability in Northern California, Sacramento, excuse me, and Southern California. And in Southern California, it's very difficult to get Spanish media outlets to come and show up and cover our stories. And on that media availability, we actually had Telemundo and Univision that showed up. So that was a great success. They really put out the safety message. And up here, we've noticed that those videos that were recorded that day, the media continues to use them. So that's really, really good that they're using that B-roll and really promoting that safety message. Then earlier I mentioned about Oceano Dunes. It's a very, very popular park, and we just have to remind our visitors about safety, some safety measures that they have to take in order to go back home alive, which is pretty much the message that Boating and Waterways has been using for a number of years: wear a life jacket, that way you could go home safely with your family. Same thing with Oceano. We're using a combination of social media messaging, a static outdoor billboard on Highway 101 near the park, and some radio spots. There's a very large population of Hispanics, Latinos, that go to the park, so it's really important for us to also share those messages in Spanish. And we also developed a webpage with safety tips in Spanish as well. Videography. So, like I said earlier, we do have a videographer on our team now. He's really good, but that's only one person. And our department is very huge with the 280 parks and plus the divisions. So we definitely encourage staff to submit videos to us and then promote them on social media, and we've been more actively doing that. We're also seeking new partnerships. On the left-hand side, it's a new mascot for Cal Fire, and I cannot remember his name off the top of my head right now. But we're looking for new partnerships. That way we could really promote that safety message. So those videos, not sure if they're going to be ready for this summer, but they're definitely going to be ready for next summer. But again, wearing the life jacket, that continues to be the number one message that the department continues to share with everybody. And the video, we're not going to show you the video right now, but the image on the right-hand side with one of our rangers, on the media day, we did some really short videos about the importance of wearing life jackets. And again, we've been sharing those on social media, and they've received a lot of positive feedback. So that's really good. Commission meetings. I know that one of our goals is to get more members of the public to attend the meetings. Hopefully a lot of them are watching the meetings online, but we're going to really work extra hard, especially with the new team members that are coming on board, to explore new ways of enticing people to watch us online or in person, and be able to, you know, find out what's going on with boating and solicit their feedback, because that's really important for the department. The Weekly Digest. So this is a summary of how department staff are living the parks life. And it goes out to department staff, partners, and anybody that subscribes to the Weekly Digest every Friday. I think it's been in place for over 5 years, and I don't think we've missed a weekend. So it's a really popular digest. When I go out and talk to department staff, they're really excited about this digest. People could either submit stories, they could submit updates on projects, photographs of either themselves out in the outdoors, of wildlife. Sometimes they don't even submit a story, they just share a story of a group of people that volunteered with, you know, Coastal Cleanup Day or you know, different programs. So it's very popular. Recently, earlier this year, we started sharing the Weekly Digest on social media, so there's more eyes on the digest. So if you don't already subscribe to it, please subscribe to it. It's really... you're seeing the efforts of the department not from the communications office, but through the eyes of our staff. And it's really amazing all the work that they do. And it's great that we could showcase it on this communication platform. And that concludes my presentation. Any questions?
Excellent presentation. Are there any questions? Yes.
No, I just have, I have one comment and one suggestion. One of the joys of being senior on the commission is to remember the days when Gloria was doing the same job just for boating and waterways. And it's a delight and a joy to see her growth professionally and recognition by the department. I just want to say, real proud of you. Thanks.
Thank you. Yeah.
And I do say that, this is a suggestion. Mm-hmm. I'm impressed by the Live the Parks Life program. But I think that can be expanded to Live the Parks / Recreation Life to go out to the community, to appeal to all segments, all Californians, to join in living this kind of life. And so, I mean, it has the material right on the brink of going and reaching out. But that's what we want. We want every Californian to live the Parks Life as Parks / Recreation Life and so on and so forth. Anyway, thanks a lot. Good to see
you. Thank
you. And Jolene over here, I see her picture, too, as a part of the team. That's wonderful.
We're really excited to have her on board.
Yeah, she's great. Thank you.
Any other questions?
Just a comment. I just have seen the messaging and the campaigns all over the different mediums, and I think you guys are doing a great job, and I think it's making an impact. We see it with... we were having a conversation about the PSAs on motorcycles and for motorcycles on the roads and things like that, and that's really helping. As a motorcyclist, I can tell you that's helping a lot. And I think I'm seeing the same sort of thing with the PSAs being done. I think people are really becoming aware about the life jacket and the need and the cold water, and I think it's really impactful. So well job. Well done.
Thank you.
Gee, we're stealing all your words. I love it. Just a couple of comments. When going out to Oakdale, she was talking about the return rate and how it's been quite excellent this year, but I'm wondering if we still have some issues throughout other parts of the state where life jackets aren't returned back. And I was thinking perhaps there might be an opportunity for us to collaborate with, you know, some swag. You know, when you return your life jacket back, you know, we give you, I don't know, a Frisbee, you know, with the logo for state parks, a water bottle, you know, something inexpensive so that it just helps to promote, again, that return rate. But it also helps to get our message out there. So that was one. And then two, I'm looking at your team, and clearly we're seeing some more need for more outreach in the Hispanic community. And one thing that just kind of popped out for me, I was in Santa Maria last week, even within the Hispanic community, that's changed somewhat. And I was seeing a lot of individuals from the state of Oaxaca, Mexico, whose dialect is very different from what I recognize. And so I was wondering if you've seen or have taken that into account as well, especially in some of the coastal communities that they reside in.
One of our information officers, Jorge Moreno, he's bilingual in Spanish, and so am I. And with the new information officers coming in, we are going to be able to explore more of those areas and figure out where are the biggest needs, and provide that information in Spanish as well. Oceano is a really good example of how they recognize the type of visitors that attend their park, because even I was really impressed with their visitor center. A lot of their interpretive panels, they're in Spanish, and I read them, and they were translated correctly, because it is difficult sometimes to translate items. I was really impressed, and that serves as a model of how we could do those things in other parts of the state, and not only within park units, but just in general. I've been to Woodward Reservoir, and I've seen how many people go there, and a lot of them don't wear life jackets, so it's important to provide that information in Spanish, and we're really exploring that area, including creating a Facebook account in Spanish, so we're really excited about hiring the new team members and then being able to expand our reach.
That'd be great. With regard to the signage, I took some photos, and there's a sign, you know, right outside where the life jacket loan program is, but it's not visible, and it's just in English. And so I was thinking, I don't know, on your website, maybe there's ways that, you know, entities like Woodward could check out, again, you know, like a store, for lack of a better, you know, term, where they could go and check out signs, again, in different languages. But I think the most important thing I saw on one of your slides, where it was pretty visible and you had life jackets out there, is that something that each organization, entity, would need to pay for on their own, so that they could get those life jackets out, visible? Because they don't do any good if they're just sitting in this, you know, this nice little air-conditioned room, but they're not visible to the average person.
I don't know if Melissa, sorry. Her last name was Miranda, that's why. Melissa, don't know if she could explain to you how those signs work. One thing that I can do on my end is that the sign shop for the department, it's under the new marketing and communications division. So those team members are under me, and I could explore and ask, hey, how do we, you know, provide these signs? Is there a possibility to provide signs in different languages? So that's something that I could do on my end and look into it.
Wonderful. Thank you.
And Madam Chair, can I add on just, you will be hearing from Melissa Miranda, who is actually from our Education and Outreach Unit, and on loaner, life jacket loaner station kits that the division does provide. So you'll hear a little bit more about that.
Excellent.
Later.
Great. Thank you. Okay, we were going to move on to the public comment period, but I'm going to actually ask for a 5-minute recess so that we can kind of get regrouped, if that's okay. All right, we'll be back. I'd like to reconvene the California Division of Boating and Waterways meeting. At this time, we will have public comment. Anybody from the public who wishes to make any kind of comment on anything not on the agenda, I ask you to please fill out a green card. But at this time, I'm going to actually ask Brett Gladfelty, who is going to address us. And again, I'll remind you, each speaker will have 3 minutes to present their comments. Members of the public are not required to provide their names. However, stating it would make it easier for us to acknowledge you. So with that, Brett, welcome and thank you.
Great. Thank you. Good morning, commissioners and Chairwoman Madueno. Good to see you. Yesterday's event was really helpful, so I'd like to thank the staff of DBW. It was really informative and my first time attending one of those events, so thank you so much. I'd just like to... just briefly, I'm Brett Gladfelty with the Apex Group, representing the California Yacht Brokers Association, along with the Marine Recreation Association and the California Association of Harbor Masters and Port Captains. I'd like to just follow up on Commissioner Vice Chairman Metz's comments on MRA's 48th annual event, and that will be in Torrey Pines. So please, we invite everybody here to attend that. One little area that I'd like to focus on is the SAVE Fund, particularly between private marinas and public marinas. Public marinas are fine and don't have an issue accessing those funds. However, for private marinas, it's still been challenging for them to access those funds. And I would encourage the division and the commission to maybe focus a little bit more on communications on how those private marinas may access those funds. I think it's something that we could use a little bit more work on. And additionally, you know, I'd like to thank everybody here today, and I appreciate the time that is focused on the Division of Boating Waterways. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Brett. We also will hear from Mr. Ray DeRosso.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Ray DeRosso. I'm president of Recreational Boaters of California. We have a long history with you back in the days when there was a Department of Boating and Waterways, and we continue to maintain that relation today. Let me start by complimenting the commission and staff. It's been our observation that in the last year or two, there has been far more information dispensed at these meetings that is of direct interest to us. We appreciate the transparency. We appreciate you making details of programs available to the public, including us, because what you do is of great importance to us. On the issue of the revolving fund, that is an issue that is near and dear to our heart, and we are paying very close attention to what goes forward there in the coming weeks and months. We just want you to know that that's a very high priority for Recreational Boaters of California, and we appreciate your efforts to share information with us. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. DeRosso. Your comments are very much appreciated. Anybody else with a green card? If not, we will now move on to our next item. And I'm particularly excited about this one. This is actually the Lake Tahoe Water Trail presentation. And just a little bit of information. We're going to be hearing more about this great guide that we just got. 72 miles of pure liquid fun. If I was talking to some of my wine friends, they would be thinking that this is a wine extravaganza. The Lake Tahoe Water Trail originated in 2003 by the California Tahoe Conservancy. The trail is a designated water route for paddlers to safely navigate along the lake's 72-mile shoreline. The trail connects public launch landing sites and other resources to provide a fun, recreational experience while practicing good stewardship that protects the watershed. Early on, the Division of Boating and Waterways worked with the Conservancy on water safety tips and the water trail map. In 2015, the Conservancy selected the Sierra Business Council to help manage, develop, and promote the water trail. Today, the Commission welcomes Ms. Becky Bell, the Lake Tahoe Water Trail Project Manager, to present information about the trail and its updated guide and map. So, Becky, welcome.
Thank you very much, and good morning, commissioners, and welcome to Lake Tahoe. I live over in South Lake Tahoe, and I moved here 30 years ago from the city of Orange County. So, so I'm really blessed to be here. As you had mentioned, I work with Sierra Business Council. We're a nonprofit. We're actually in the adjacent building. I don't have to drive up here every day. But we work on conservation and socioeconomic projects throughout the Sierra Nevada region. And they usually focus on watersheds, forest health, climate adaptation, and small businesses, and sustainable recreation. And I'm here today. I've developed an education program that focuses on access, stewardship, and safety. And as you had mentioned, the Lake Tahoe Water Trail, it's a 72-mile water route along the shoreline that connects public beaches with launch and landing sites to help paddlers have a safe and fun recreation experience while protecting the watershed. 20 of the sites we call trailheads. This is very similar to the San Francisco Water Trail, if you're familiar with that. And four of those trailheads are California State Park entities. The water trail was developed, it was conceived in 2003 by the California Tahoe Conservancy, and then in 2007 it got more organized with a non-motorized boating working group, and they wanted to make sure they improved facilities, operations, and public education programs to address the needs of paddlers and to protect the resources. So here's our working group that's still intact now. And you can see California State Parks is on the top with Nevada, Forest Service, California Tahoe Conservancies, the PUDs, Tahoe Resource Conservation District, Tahoe Regional Planning Agency, and our lakefront homeowners, too, are part of our group. In 2015, when Sierra Business Council got a grant to really take it to a new level because we were seeing the explosion of paddling sports here in Tahoe. So what we do is take all the regulatory information and I translate it into a communications program to really motivate the desired behavior. So it's 72 miles of pure liquid fun trying to get that message across that'll really engage the user instead of so much, no, 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 don't do this because that doesn't get anywhere. So we're really working on responsible lake access because 50% of our shoreline is public lands and the other 50% is private residents. And we really want to make sure that people keep off those, as well as we have Tahoe Yellowcrest and we have a lot of resources that we have to control where the public goes so they don't damage a lot of our shoreline vegetation or nesting birds or things like that. Water safety is so big, as you know, and how you mentioned earlier, the fire departments. I work with the Coast Guard, the fire departments, and that brings tears to their eyes, too, when they learn about our program because of them having to recover bodies. And our biggest problem up here is cold water shock, even for swimmers. And you got it. It's really gotten big. And for the paddling lifestyle, often people just, they don't want to wear anything. They want that freedom. But here, it's a necessity. I'm a windsurfer, sailor, everything, bike rider. I always wear my safety gear. Practice makes lucky, so. We push a lot of boating regulations, and I can't thank you enough for Jolene, who's helped me over the last few years. She's been amazing, helping with all the boating regulations and water safety information. And then we do a lot with aquatic invasive species prevention here. We're trying to keep out the mussels from hitting Lake Tahoe. We do have some weeds, as you know, and we're really focused on that because paddlers, they don't have to go through boating inspections. I came up with this project called Tahoe Keepers in 2010, and it's a self-inspection program where paddlers are asked to, you know, clean their gear, make sure it's clean, drain, and dry. So that's part of this whole program with the paddling lifestyle. So that's what we're trying to build is a protocol for paddling. Up here in Tahoe, we have about four main sports that we do. Mountain biking, skiing, hiking, and then now paddling is really this big sport. So those other three entities, they've had nonprofit groups that really talk about safety and stewardship and protocol. So for the water trail, I'm really building this protocol for paddlers about stewardship and safety. And one of the key deliverables from our oversight committee, that non-motorized boating group, is the signage. And I think you saw it at Tahoe Vista yesterday when you went to that boat launch. So the working group, they picked 20 trailheads around the 72 miles. And it's where there's the most restrooms and facilities. And then we have the signage there, the educational interpretive wayfinding signage. And I brought one up here for you can see. And each of the signs, it has a mapped paddle route, and it has GPS and distance, as well as we have water safety, about wearing the life jackets always, checking wind and weather conditions, and our aquatic invasive species about protecting your gear inspecting your gear and making sure it's clean, drain, and dry before you launch. Our four trailheads, four of the trailheads are at California State Parks, DL Bliss, Emerald Bay, Sugar Pine, and Kings Beach. We have signs there. And I think I just went through this. This is one of the signs over at Round Hill. So again, it has the highest amount of development. Again, it's supported by paddle concessionaires because we understand they're like a line of defense of education, educating paddlers as well as renting gear that we know is AIS free, that it hasn't been in any contaminated waters. And then the signage also has to work with the landowner's strategy and like their operations. They're trying to give public access, you know, to the public and do water safety, but also protect the resources. That's what's really big here. And we wanted a good distribution of signage, not signs everywhere and not pointing out every little nook and cranny, but just where the managers can really, you know, manage the impact and we get the word out to paddlers. And here's a couple of signs. Again, you saw Tahoe Vista. Our signs, all the projects that we do for Sierra Business Council are through grants or funding. So the signage was one of them. That was the main deliverable. So our trailhead signage system is supported by these educational materials, again, that Jolene helped me with. One of them is our, here's a free brochure out there. It's a water safety stewardship brochure. And then our only revenue generator is this waterproof map and access guide. And in 2012, you were a sponsor. And then this year, you're the sponsor of our latest 2019 because we had to update it to be more current with the needs of paddlers, really get more into boating regulations, that just access boating regulations, water safety, about, you know, camping. You can only camp in designated campgrounds because of our fire restrictions as well. So I sell this to shops and individuals on our website. And we have a new website, the LakeTahoeWaterTrail.org, that I'll take you through pretty quickly. And then we have a whole social media campaign as well. So next. Oh, and then here's the website. So our, thank you. See if I can, you made the, so again, 72 miles of pure liquid fun. This is our homepage. So I'm just going to kind of scroll down it. And we're hitting on the key programs. And we also have a campaign kind of heads up. Heads up meaning, do you have your life jacket on? Heads up. Are you walking, are you avoiding Tahoe Yellowcrest? Heads up, did you check the wind and weather before you went out? Because it's all about the wind. You know, if it's sunny here, it's sunny in South Shore, but it's about the wind, how it comes across the lake, and the fetch is on the northeast side, and it gets very dangerous out there. I'm a sailor, and we had a 27-foot sailboat here for a long time, and I feel really comfortable on my sailboat more than, you know, in certain conditions. So another cool piece of our website, we have this Google map, and it shows all of the 37 launch landing sites at Lake Tahoe, and I'll show you that. We also have these day trips, which it's a downloadable map with interpretive information. So if somebody just wants to look at like a 10-mile section of the lake and go, okay, where can I go for an hour? Or where can I go 1 mile or the next? They can do that. We have a weather map, and we have our whole safety section, and then we have our protection section about watch your step, respect private property, leave no trace, become a Tahoe keeper, and then file a float plan, and that's from your your playbook too. And the again, the fire guys, the Coast Guard love having the file a float plan, so you know where you're going. And you're a sponsor. You're listed on here, too. It rotates, so you won't see yourself right there. But I did just want to show you something pretty cool about this map that we did, if I can figure out. Oops. Okay. So, all right. So let's say if you select on one of the launch landing sites, a picture pops up. Maybe it's not gonna, but a picture, I had my web guy go out on the lake and take a picture of the landing site from the water. Because, you know, everybody takes a picture from the shore looking out at the lake, but that doesn't do you any good if you have to identify where to get back. So I'm bummed we can't see that, but you'll have to go use it. And then, so that's very helpful. And then, oops, if I could figure this out. I'm sorry. I'm usually with a... All right. Maybe you get it. I wanted to just show you the... All right. Just our weather map, if I can figure it out. Here we go. I won't take up too much time, but this is pretty cool. We've divided the lake into 7 sections for these day trip maps. So we matched that with our wind and weather conditions. And you can see where those little red dots are. If you click on any of those, it'll give you the wind conditions. Wind and weather. So, all right.
What are you using for, where's that weather information coming from?
I'm pretty sure it is Wind Finder. Yeah. So, okay. How do I get out of this? Sorry. The X right there. All right, never mind. Okay. Any questions? Thank you. I'm good. I think I... Oh, yes.
I noticed yesterday in our tour that on the lake that some of the senior people would get on their little boats, paddle boats, and they didn't have life jackets on. I don't, you know, just, but they were going way out there too.
I know.
And just, but then again, there were a lot of people on paddle boats that did have their life jackets on. So it's like one or the other, you know.
I know.
It's sad because, and they're by themselves, and if they fall off or something happens, no one's going to even know they're out there except for seeing the paddle boat.
Exactly. And we hear several stories where they'll have a drowning victim, and shoved up in the bow of the boat is their life jacket, like in a kayak or a canoe. And Placer County sheriffs, they have zero tolerance right now, too. If a paddler's out and they don't even, you know, at least they're wearing their fanny, safety fanny things and a leash, I mean, they'll give a fix-it ticket. So we're just, it's almost zero. I'm glad to see that, too. Because, you know, we do a good job marketing it, but you have to show it in reality instead of like it's a benign lake, like it's Mission Bay. It's not. It's an ocean out there. So, and the water temperature will kill you. So
it's not for a lack of advertisement because it's all over the place. It's just,
yeah,
just ignorance of people doing that. You know?
Yeah, and that's why we're trying to build this protocol of the safety and stewardship. And
thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Other questions, comments? If not, again, love this. I've just kind of been leaping through it, but I love this, and I would like to let the public know if they would like to get a copy or would like to see this. Charlie has a copy you can actually peruse, but you don't have extras, but they can actually see it. It's not cheap. It's $11.99.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm willing to share, but I won't give it to you.
Yeah.
And but excellent publication. And thank you for all the great work and stewardship you're doing out there for safety and helping us to promote, again, the importance of, you know, water safety out there.
Absolutely. And thank you for your funding over the years. And even next year, we're looking at making this a Spanish version.
I was going to ask, yes.
Yes, as well as the website. It'll be translated as well. So thank you. And if anyone wants to buy these, you can go online, and we have an online cart.
Excellent.
So thank you for allowing me to speak today, and welcome to Tahoe.
Thank you, Becky. Appreciate that. We are now going to move at this time to hear from department staff and the division program reports. And we're going to actually start with Amy Rigby, who's going to give us an update on the Aquatic Center grants.
Good morning, Madam Chairman, Commissioners, Acting Deputy Director, Legal Counsel, and guests. My name is Amy Rigby, and I will be presenting information concerning DBW's Aquatic Center Grant Program. The purpose of the program is to provide funding to existing on-the-water boating education programs. Through our grant application process, we identify programs that are already doing a good job teaching people about boating safety, and we grant them funding to educate additional people. The map represents a distribution of the 48 active aquatic centers that received funding in this current two-year cycle. The blue stars represent aquatic centers that are located at boating instruction and safety centers, also known as BISCs. The BISCs are part of the capital outlay program. So some of the variety of the programs that we fund, some are full facilities with buildings and classrooms and docks, and you've seen some of those in various tours at other meetings. And some are temporary on the water sites, like the Truckee Donner Rec and Park District site that you saw yesterday, where they just use it in a season. And then some are completely mobile programs, like Feather River Junior College near Quincy. They are completely mobile and just move from site to site. So we have many different types of models, and all are very successful. Some of the types of funding that we are able to give out are equipment grants, scholarship grants, grants for instructor training, and grants for National Safe Boating Week or other similar events. This program does not provide funding for permanent structures, but we do grant items such as storage sheds, which you may have seen yesterday, and modular removable docking, so anything that can be moved but isn't permanent. And there's a variety of different programs or programming that is used with the funding. For youth, there are field trips, or sometimes it's even PE courses that a school can come and do some PE courses at the center. They have week-long summer camps and other types of things. And there are clinics for new boat owners and also courses for special populations such as people with disabilities. This slide just shows some class variety. We grant funding for everything from paddle, whitewater paddling and other types of paddle sports to, again, motorboat safety training for both motorboats and personal watercraft. So some information about our impact. Information about the budget expenditures for fiscal year 18-19. Historically, this program has received $1.3 million each fiscal year, but this can vary because it is federal funding, and sometimes we get different amounts of that. Last year, we received $24,000 over that allotment. Some information regarding the program numbers. The 2018 annual reports revealed that of the 42 grantees in their programs, 75,000 people attended courses at all of those programs combined. 39% of them were from underserved populations, and 23 aquatic centers hosted National Safe Boating Week events that were attended by about 8,600 people. We are able to utilize our aquatic centers as partners to help us do various things. And one thing that we do with the National Safe Boating Week events is they provide life jacket trade-ins or giveaways at these events. And in fact, along with just giving the public general boating safety information, Tahoe City Public Utility District, one of our grantees, just called me 2 days ago and reported on their event last weekend. In conjunction with the Concours d'Elegance over at Obexer's Marina in Tahoe. They had a very successful event. He said he thought the most successful event they'd ever had. They had more questions from the public about boating safety they were able to answer, and the demand for life jackets was just crazy. He wished they'd had two or three times the amount. And I wanted to just thank Melissa Miranda for her good work with these aquatic centers. She comes to our meetings. She helps educate them about what's available. She and Jolene do that, both of them. And they really help us. We can leverage those partnerships to get them to help us advertise about our boating safety messages and distribute life jackets. And it's just, those are great partnerships. And I really depend on my two colleagues to help me. And it's such a beneficial thing. And anyhow. So a little bit about our evaluation criteria. We have both mandatory and competitive criteria. We receive this money from the Sport Fish Restoration and Boating Trust Fund administered by the United States Coast Guard. And so we are required to follow federal and Coast Guard guidelines when we grant this funding. So some examples of mandatory criteria would be the types of agencies that are eligible to apply. They are nonprofit organizations, public agencies, and colleges and universities. Applicants must provide on-the-water education, and all participants must wear life jackets. Some examples of competitive criteria would be we look at our applicants to see how do the courses that they are teaching correlate with the accident profile in their area. And when students complete a boating safety course at their center, what did they learn and how likely is it that what they learned will improve safety outcomes? We also look at the programming staff and the stability of the program and how cost-effective is the request. Just give some examples there. We also, once the grantees receive funding, we monitor them, and some examples of monitoring methods are conducting site visits to look at programming and to inventory equipment that has been purchased. They are also required to submit an annual report. Grantees are required to provide program numbers and also a synopsis of their yearly activities so we can see how everything's going. They tell us things that were really great that happened and maybe some struggles, and then how others could help them, either us or maybe some of the other aquatic centers. And they also report that in the next monitoring, which is the Aquatic Center Directors Meeting, where not only do they hear grant business, they're required to come to one of these meetings a year, of which there are two. And they listen to our grant business, maybe new instructions we have, new policies. But they also discuss among themselves how things are going. One person might have an idea for another program, et cetera. So it's a good information sharing opportunity. And we also monitor them by approving how we approve their invoices, turnover procedures of equipment, and things of that nature. And then I want to talk about some recent program improvements. We are in the process of making a number of program improvements, and some of them include we are currently revising our grant application and just all of our grant processes to ensure that they are in line with the Coast Guard funding requirements. Applicants will be reviewed and scored by independent reviewers. We are updating our grant agreement and the program guidelines. We are also strengthening many of our monitoring procedures, and we look for ways to improve services to our grantees and the boaters that they serve. We hope to have an update regarding these improvements at perhaps the next commission meeting. And this concludes my presentation, and I want to thank all of you for your continued interest in this program. And if you have any questions at this time, I'd be happy to answer.
Perfect. Thank you, Amy. Are there any comments or any questions? Commissioner Metz.
Yes, thank you very much, Ms. Rigsby. Could you return to slide number one where you had the blue stars and the red stars? And my question is, we have two significant aquatic centers in the San Diego area, one located on Silver Strand, adjacent to the Silver Strand State Beach, and one at Mission Bay. Now, one has a red star and one has a blue star?
Correct.
What's the difference?
The difference is that the red star is the Mission Bay Aquatic Center, which was built on their own with other types of funding that they provided themselves. And the blue star is the Crown Cove Aquatic Center, which is run by Southwestern Community College, and that was the facility that they have was built with funds provided by Division of Boating and Waterways through our capital outlay program, and they receive money for the facility build. So that's just representing the blue stars on the map represent when capital outlay funds were used to build a facility.
Oh, so it's a historic designation. Is there any difference, though, in the way the division funds Mission Bay versus Crown Cove?
No.
Okay. That was.
It just was simply sometimes people ask where were those located. It's just for information.
Okay. Now, I'm intrigued. I know you'll have a subsequent report at our next meeting or a future meeting. You're going to evaluate the centers using an independent review
group?
The applications in our the grant applications that they complete to get funding are going to be reviewed and scored by independent reviewers.
Interesting. Well, I commend any involvement of independent. I would also urge consideration of involving independent reviewers in the evaluation of the programs as well. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions?
Just some kudos for the Mission Bay Aquatic Center. My grandson attended, this is the second year of the Junior Lifeguard Program, and after the end of the season, they all jump off the Ocean Beach Pier. It's a real, real big thing, and there's a lot of kids that attended, and I just want to say that everybody was happy with the program, and the kids are overjoyed with it, so kudos.
Okay, terrific. Thank you.
Quick question, actually a couple questions, Amy. One is, how often is equipment replaced?
Well, it varies depending on the type of equipment. Some people are still using Boston Whalers from 1978, but that's a minority of programs. But generally, the life of, say, a sailboat fleet, and how it depends on how often, how many hours they're putting on the boats, and that could vary from program to program. It's kind of a hard question to answer, but it's as needed. They come to us and say, okay, it's time, and we look and we see the condition of the boats and do an evaluation of that nature when we're looking.
Actually, you kind of did answer it, because clearly, I mean, if we're still using some equipment from 1978, we don't replace it every year or every 2 years. Okay. And then with regard to the, thank you for clarifying on the red and the blue stars. Obviously, where I come from, there's not a whole lot of stars in my area. I like stars. Mm-hmm. I've always liked stars. I'd like to see more stars. Is that something that maybe I could assist you with in terms of helping to get the word out in terms of these grant applications that are obviously available, but we're not seeing a whole lot of activity from the Valley?
Definitely. I mean, we do have a couple programs down there, but we always like more, and to get the word out to have additional programs there. We have a really good program that's down in the Fresno area that does great work. It's a paddling based program, and the city of Fresno is involved with a nonprofit. Together, they are. The nonprofit is the grantee, and then they work with the city of Fresno to get more people in. And then, again, the Stockton Sailing Club up in Stockton. But we definitely would like more, just speaking of the San Joaquin Valley anyway, more, anything that you could do to spread the word is always appreciated.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Anything else?
Good. Thank you, Amy. Okay. At this time, we'll bring up Ms. Jolene Keene, who's going to give us a presentation on boating safety and environmental awareness campaign that she's working on. Good morning, Jolene.
Good morning, commissioners, and acting deputy director, guests and friends and staff. I just wanted to say that, as you can see, all of our programs are working together. We're constantly interacting, and it's a joy to come to work every day and work with all of these people. I just wanted to say that, and I hoped you had noticed that on our tour yesterday. I also wanted to address, before I get into my public a presentation, that we did notify on social media. I hope you're all following us on Boat California. On Tuesday, learn more about boating and waterways at the August 15 commission meeting in Truckee, with a link to get the agenda, a beautiful picture of Donner Lake. And we had over 1,300 likes, which is fabulous for a government commission meeting program. And we also had 75 shares. So word is getting out. And one of those shares was through the California State Parks social media as well. And so it went out to their 150,000 followers. So a lot of information about our commission and our commission meetings on social media. As you can see, 20 years ago, we've had a wonderful outreach program for boating safety awareness. DBW made an innovative decision to do that and use federal funds for this project. It has been followed by many states and by the National Association of State Boating Law Administrators, and it's been recognized over the years and emulated. We started out with boating safety alone, and you can see on the slide we've added boating clean and green. We've added the boating, the Clean Vessel Act, and aquatic invasive species. We're planning on a new outreach to teach people awareness of the spread and the vector that boating is for the spread of aquatic invasive species. We're working on a plan for that one right now. And we'll also be getting ready to gear up for the California Boater Card. We've done outreach, but we're going to push that up as we can. This distinctive board that I'm sure some of you have seen along different different roads leading to waterways has been very well known and very much remembered. All of our campaigns, we want to know what people think. We want to measure the results. And so we do a survey after each campaign season, which runs from Memorial Day to through Labor Day for the boating safety. Some of the other campaigns run throughout the year for Clean and Green or Clean Vessel Act. But we want to know what people have remembered and what they learn. And as you can see, this is a 10-year spread of the accidents, injuries, and fatalities of California recreational boating. And you can see there's a trend downward. And while the campaign would like to take full credit for that, we can't do that. We know there's outreach efforts by many, many partnerships and organizations, as well as the industry as a whole. And so we see those going down here in California. We look at those accident areas every year, and before we start our next year, to designate where is our message going to be the most impactful? Where is it needed the most? And so we look at what we call a boating accident target area. And we schedule our media buys accordingly. Digital and social media have been a tremendous asset. We started out with radio mostly, and then we went to billboards, and then we went to marina signage and that kind of thing. And then since the last couple of years when we added digital and social media, we can dial it back or we can dial it up almost immediately where it's needed. For instance, when in the last 2 years when we've had high water years after the drought, we noticed there was uptick in different cold water, fast water accidents. We were able to run in, put in some digital and social media targeting to those specific areas. One was the Kern River 2 years ago, and then also in the Fresno area, we dialed it up because we noticed an uptick in boating accidents on lakes and reservoirs around that area. You can see here, these are the media markets that California has been divided into, and the top boating accident areas correspond with these media markets, and this is how we determine some of our spend. You can see that Los Angeles is huge, but it is the highest media market in the United States, so we have to pay more for our messaging in that area. Other areas we can get equal messaging for much fewer dollars. So you can see the spread there. So what we've done here is the list on the right, those are our high accident areas merged into the media markets. We call that our boating accident target area. You can see here our budgets based on for 2019. This is our current budget for our messaging. You can also see by the artwork we have a brand image. The heart icon has been very popular and has been very memorable and very positive. And these are the media buy budgets for the 2019 boating season, with boating safety coming from the federal trust funds, clean and green quiz coming from the Harbors and Watercraft Fund, clean vessel coming from federal funding, boater card program has some funding there, and aquatic invasive plants, that's the one we're working on, we have not yet implemented. And here you see one of the innovations to the campaign has been the Boat California app, and it was implemented in 2017. So this is now, we're starting our third year. And we have over 13,000 users. What they can get on here is that you can see the list of access and education information that's available right on their smartphone, especially the boating facility locator. And you can push that little icon, and you will get, it will target in right to where you are. I know it's a little bit invasive. It targets right where you are, and you can see all of the facilities that are near you and what they have, and that is also on our website as a whole. But we were able to fit it into this app. It also allows you to file a float plan directly from the app with information. In 2018, we built upon a previously successful year with 4,000 boating clean and green quiz takers. And as you can see, that was in 2018, and we achieved over 9,000, nearly 10,000 quizzes completed, and our goal was only 4,000. And this year we're repeating it, and it's on right now. If you'd like to take it, you can go to Boat Clean and Green and see how much you know about disposing of oil and gasoline products and cleaning boats. Another strand of the campaign is the Dump at the Pump campaign. And we shifted the campaign last year to highlight the new Pump Out Nav app to find pump stations throughout the state. We do this in conjunction with the California Coastal Commission and some of the other partners in Southern California and also here in Northern California. And it is anchored by a print campaign. We are promoting this in journals such as California Fly Fisher, The Fish Sniffer, Bay and Delta Yachtsman, Western Outdoor News, Latitude 38, and The Log. And it also includes added value, which means when you purchase an ad, you get some added value, which might be space on their website, and we negotiate very efficiently to get as much as we can to promote the Dump at the Pump education and the new app. Last year we did a quagga zebra mussel pilot project. As you know, California State Parks Division of Boating Waterways has a QZ mussel prevention grant program that goes out to different water body managers. And the managers were wanting to know how to reach out to boaters, how to advertise their programs. And so Boating and Waterways did a proactive approach and went to a pilot approach through Lake Paris. They one of the state recreation areas agreed to work with us on this, and we wanted to show how you could create a low-cost, efficient outreach to the public that comes to a certain waterway about quagga zebra mussel prevention. And so the goal of this was to create a package that other water body managers could replicate, not that DBW would continue to do for various waterways, but what they could do for themselves and have a package that they could just adapt locally. And it was very successful. We had over 3,000 quiz completions. We followed the example of the Boating Clean and Green quiz, which had been quite successful. Quizzes are very popular online. People like to take it, see how much they know, and get educated in the process and have an opportunity to win a life jacket. The California Boater Card you're going to hear more about from my colleague Melissa Miranda, but I would like to say that in our post-campaign surveys, we found that 8 out of 10 California powerboat operators say they have heard about the California Boater Card. They may not know when they need it, but they've heard about it. They know it's coming. And Melissa will take you through that program. I just wanted to give you the impact and results from 2018. As I mentioned, we do a survey. We use a research company that we contract with, and so it's not an in-house survey. It is an external organization, and they survey registered boaters and also paddle craft owners in the state of California. We do about 700 boaters to do this to take the survey, and what we found is that 90% of them reported that the message influenced them to wear their life jacket more. They won't say all the time, but more. We are, you know, we'd like to have them wear it all the time, but we'll take more. We've grown to 150,000 Facebook followers. We've gotten 450,000, this was just last year, BoatCalifornia.com page visits, because all of our campaign is, the call to action is to click through to Boat California, where they can go to our website. We gave out 50,000 life jacket bumper stickers. People love that sticker. They like the heart. They like the life jacket in it, or the different vessels. We'll have one with sailboats, one with paddle boats. And then we've done 20,000 for the Boating Under the Influence stickers, and most of those were distributed by our partners, the different law enforcement agencies that participate in the Operation Dry Water campaign. We also have, and not just during boating season, but 100% of the time, over 1,000 marina posters talking about boating safety and life jacket wear, and now the California Boater Card. That concludes. Oh, we did get an award, yes. We received an award from the National Association of Boating Law Administrators and the International Boating Water Safety Summit organization and event. We received a top award for our new Boating Clean and Green quiz. I want to thank you for this opportunity to present to you, and if you have any questions or comments, let me know.
Well, thank you so much for the great presentation, and congratulations on that award. And I'll open it up for any questions or comments from my peers here. Seeing none, we will move on. Thank you so much, Jolene. Appreciate all the work you do. And now we will bring up from department staff Melissa Miranda, who's going to give us a presentation on the Life Jacket Outreach and Loaner Program, the K-12 Boating Safety Education, the Boating Course, and the California Boating Card.
One second.
Okay, no problem, Melissa.
Okay. There we go. Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm Melissa Miranda, the new manager over the Boating Education and Outreach Unit, and I'm so excited for all of the interest in our boating education and outreach programs. Our unit serves as the face of the division at outreach events, and we're responsible for implementing the California Boater Card program and providing safe boating education to youth and adults. Today, I'll be providing you with an update on the following programs: the California Boater Card, Boating Safety Courses, Safe Boating Outreach, Life Jacket Loaner Programs and Trade-Ins, and Youth Boating Safety Education. Staff presented a full update on the California Boater Card Program at the February Commission meeting. However, with the transformation now complete, the California Boater Card Program is now under the Boating Education and Outreach Unit, and program updates will be provided together for future meetings. As you heard earlier today, regulations are still going through the rulemaking process. We recently received comments back from the Office of Administrative Law, and we will likely go back out for a 15-day public comment period in the near future for any revisions. Regulations will then be submitted to the Office of Administrative Law for final approval. So as we mentioned earlier, we've distributed 33,847 California boater cards to date. This graph shows boater card activity for the past fiscal year, the blue line representing applications submitted, and then the yellow line representing cards issued. The main reason for the lower number of cards issued is the applicant may still be completing their education requirement. And as part of our ongoing outreach efforts, we recently sent an email out to over 5,000 applicants as a reminder to complete their application by either completing their safe voting course or any other form of payment that may be needed. So we're looking to close the gap on the applications versus cards issued. As you can see from the graph, we are seeing an increase during the voting season on voter card activity. And we expect this to continue increasing as regulations are approved and we continue and start new advertising. Currently, the California Voter Card Program is being phased in, as you may know. Those 25 and younger are required to be carrying the card with them if they're operating a motorized boat on California waterways. So next year, that will jump up to 35 years and younger, and then with full implementation by 2025. So pictured here is the Division of Boating and Waterways' own boating safety course, which we have approval from the National Association of State Boating Law Administrators through 2021. This course meets the education requirement for the California Voter Card, and it's one of 13 courses that's currently approved for the California Voter Card Program. This publication is free to the public and available to order through our online ordering site, and is also available as an ebook on our Division of Boating and Waterways website. As part of our outreach efforts, we've distributed 18,000 courses last year through partners, including the Coast Guard Auxiliary, the Power Squadrons, aquatic centers, and at boating safety outreach events through division participation. This past year, we received more than double the boating safety course exams as we received prior to the implementation of the California Voter Card Program. So we're definitely seeing an increase of people taking our course. Division of Boating and Waterways will soon have an online exam available. Currently, the exam is a Scantron that's submitted through the mail. And so this will move our process online. We'll still be offering it through the home study course, but we anticipate a good majority of people taking it through the online option. It's going through final internal testing, and that should be available soon. For safe voting outreach, our annual budget is approximately $550,000. Outreach is our opportunity to provide one-on-one interaction with the voters. So this is really where we're seeing and hearing their comments and questions and able to maybe demystify some of the laws, regulations, and safety requirements that they may not otherwise be able to know about. We participate at boat shows, marina events, safety fairs, county fairs, the California State Fair most recently, and any other events that are relevant and or that we're able to meet. One highlight from this voting season, we were able to attend a predominantly Spanish-speaking event in the Stockton area in May, where we partnered with someone in the communications office with the Department of Water Resources, a Spanish-speaking representative, and then also a Spanish-speaking representative from the State Parks Communications Office. And that was a really neat opportunity to be able to provide information to the Spanish-speaking public to be able to communicate how to properly fit a life jacket to some of these people in some of the underserved areas. So we were able to, we distributed over 100 life jackets, and we provided some brochures in Spanish as well as English. So we hope to be able to provide some more information in other languages in the future. We also rely heavily on partners, so our resources are distributed through other partners that I've already named, but I'll name them again, the Coast Guard Auxiliary, the Power Squadrons, and our awesome partners with the aquatic centers throughout California. We have a lot of other partners through law enforcement and other wonderful safe boating partners that really help us get out the information. So how do we determine what events we attend? DBW's outreach is focused on events that will provide high volumes of boaters and people identified to meet our target audience. We also use accident statistics to determine the high boating accident target areas, known as betas, to focus our events. As you can see from this map is similar to the map that you saw from Jolene. This has a beta overlay, which is the different colors in the different regions. And then the DBW events are tagged with the little marker. These are events that we've participated in so far this year. And so you can see we've covered a good majority of the betas, and we hope to include more in the future of this season. We've already participated in 48 event days. And so annually we participate in about 30 events statewide. So we receive event requests from various sources throughout the state, and we attend as many as we are able to. Those that we aren't able to, we're able to provide resources such as publications and occasionally life jackets. So we are able to extend our reach even if we personally aren't able to be there. So of great interest, we have over 100 life jacket loan stations available throughout the state. These all operate differently. They're operated by different entities, partners such as, so they're at fire stations, marinas, Army Corps of Engineers, water body managers. They're all operated a little bit differently. As you'll see here pictured, this is a standalone loaner board. And this actually has our creative campaign signage. And this is something that we hope to be able to offer in the future to all of the loan stations. We do have printed posters available that aren't pictured here, but that can be posted if it's a different type of life jacket loan station. In the awesome video that you saw earlier from Woodward Reservoir, they had a much different life jacket loan station that is actually operated by staff and volunteers. And so those are monitored as they go in and come out. So something like the life jacket loaner board that you see up there on this slide, So this one is actually at a state park, so in Oroville. And that's monitored by the rangers. So they go by daily to check on the life jackets and make sure that they're still serviceable, that there are life jackets available up on the board. So each of these life jacket loan stations have the opportunity to be provided with additional resources. So we check in on them periodically to determine their need for additional life jackets. Some of them are able to fund the life jackets on their own. But we distribute about 5,000 life jackets statewide. So this last year we did about 5,000 statewide, which includes replenishing life jackets to existing loan stations and starting new loan stations. We receive requests all the time for new loan stations, and we're able to provide life jackets and the signage as we have that available in our inventory. So with life jacket trade-in events, oh, I should mention, let's go back to life jacket loan stations for 1 second. Those 100-plus life jacket loan stations are listed on our online, on the DBW website, and then also on the Boat California app that you saw a little bit earlier from Jolene. So moving on to our statewide life jacket trade-in events. You heard from Amy Rigby a bit earlier about the aquatic centers and their wonderful events that they do during National Safe Boating Week and throughout the season, depending on the weather and availability during, depending on the body of water that they're on. But we rely heavily on partners to disseminate life jackets during life jacket trade-in events. So last year we had over 30 life jacket trade-in events, and this is an opportunity for boaters to bring in their old, outgrown, unserviceable life jackets and be traded in for a new, properly fitted, Coast Guard-approved life jacket. And the idea is that as children grow up, they will be fitted properly, so they won't be continued to be put in one that is either too small for them or they put them in one just because they have it available. So we hear a lot of people putting adult life jackets on children, and we all know that that doesn't work out well. So life jackets are also used as an educational tool to promote safe boating and an opportunity to teach proper fit at other safety events and boat shows. The California Education Code mandates that that the Division of Boating Waterways provides elementary age education to California students on boating and water safety. We accomplish this through our AquaSmart program. So we have our awesome AquaSmart Live touring puppet and game show. And last year, they did an incredible job visiting over 300 schools statewide. And this is also available in Spanish. And the majority of the Spanish-speaking assembly requests have come from Southern California. So that's a really neat thing that we're able to provide. And we determine locations for that, again, using boating accident target areas. We try and go into the youth underserved areas as well. So we reach out to the areas and different counties and then receive responses from them to schedule those assemblies. And then our AquaSmart activity book, our award-winning K through 8 now activity book. I think you guys have all seen a copy of the newly redone, really wonderful resource. We provide this free of charge, can be available, can be ordered through our online ordering site. We distribute these at events, but we receive so many requests from these, from all of our partners. These are just distributed in schools at the end of the AquaSmart Live assemblies. So we disseminate thousands of these statewide on an annual basis. And we're really happy now that we have this new revised version. It meets the curriculum standards for the state, and so hopefully more teachers will be able to implement this into their curriculum in the future. So this concludes my presentation for the Boating Education and Outreach Unit, and thank you for your time. Do you guys have any questions?
Thank you, Melissa. Are there any comment questions? Yes, great.
Yes, I do. Thank you very much for your presentation, Ms. Moran. I have two questions with respect to the boater card program. Do you have statistics or estimates for each of the three categories, up to 25 years, the next phase would be up to 35, and so on, of the number who should possess the cards in California versus tracking how many currently possess? Do you have such a system?
So you want to know, how
many
people...
No, I don't want to know. I'm wondering, do we have a tracking system?
You want to know if we have the tracking system. I will have to get back to you on that. Okay. I will take that back to the office, and
Well, I think that's very important because if we're talking about public safety and boating safety, we ought to know how many should have, best estimates, informed estimates, versus how many do, so we know how well we're doing in the rollout and the marketing. The second question relates to the importance of our partners, those who sell boats, equipment, and their activity and enthusiasm and the type of information they convey to their purchasers about the boater cards program. What kind of relationship do you have with them with respect to the rollout and marketing?
So retailers you're talking about?
Yes, yes. Boat US, so on and so forth. West Marine, and boat dealers themselves, or even those who are yacht brokers and you're interested in buying a boat, buying a used boat, so you go, and what kind of information are they presenting to current and future boaters with respect to the boater card program?
So we have, we've been working with the Coast Guard Auxiliary, the Power Squadrons, our safe boating partners, to disseminate a lot of this information. And as our regulations continue going through the rulemaking process and we're able to get regulations put in place, then we'll be able to do continued advertising and we'll really be able to start getting the information out to those extremely important partners that will be helping us get the information out.
Thank you.
Commissioner, can I also add on to that? So as we also we regulate the yacht and ship licensing program that I mentioned, and we have staff that manage that program as well. We attend the yacht broker the yacht broker's legal seminar, as well as we're invited many times to yacht associations to talk about this program. So we have been engaging with the yacht brokers from the California Yacht Brokers Association, CYBA,
on informing new potential boat owners on this program.
Duly noted. Any other follow-up for Commissioner Metz? If not, we'll turn it over to...
I was also going to add about the statistics. I know there were a lot of analytics that went into the initial implementation of the card, and I know that we do track age and other...
That's good to know.
Yeah, other age and target area. So this is something we'll take back to the office and see what we can get back to you on. Thank you.
No problem. Commissioner Pettibone.
Yeah, I had a question. It's good that the course was approved through the National Association of State Boating Administrators. Was the book developed by DBW, or who developed the actual course?
We've had this course for many years, yeah. And it was initially developed by the department,
okay.
Formerly Department of Boating Waterways, and it's a course that we've had for many, many years. I don't know the exact date that we started the book. However, we continue revisions with the addition of new laws and new regulations. We keep that up to date, and that's typical for the National Association of State Boating Law Administrators to issue a three-year approval.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I was just thinking as I was looking at it, and as I mentioned, having a friend who just passed through an accident, the boating community nationally, but also a lot in California, has... as these things do, has come back with so many stories of near misses and bad experiences. And so it really kind of highlighted to me that maybe we should look at fresh eyes with maybe how are we talking about some of these interactions and the giveaway. And there's some pieces in there that maybe it's a little more general than it could be or maybe should be. And certainly when I looked at fresh eyes at the sailing portion, I would really encourage a big update. My opinion as a professional sailor is that it's not currently serving the power boaters well when they read it, because sailors were so limited by the wind and our maneuverability. The boat refers to that, but it doesn't actually show why boats have to tack, and you know they can only go so far. And when they go head to wind, they're like flapping and stopping, and it really throws off the kind of determination of speed. And I think that's really hard for power boaters who don't know sailing. It's almost like I was saying to my colleagues, it's like looking at the way spiders move. You don't know what they're going to do next. And I think that actually increases these near misses that we can probably, now that we have a boating card, that we can really help alleviate with the ongoing education. So that would be my recommendation.
Thank you for those comments, and we'll definitely take those back in consideration.
I think that's really important what Commissioner Pettibone just brought up, and I always think that that's an opportunity. Would you be willing to kind of give some more guidance and just making sure, again, that we're not missing any pertinent information, and if we can save another life, I think, again, in memory of your friend.
Oh, I appreciate it. I really think California is going to be a national leader on this, and so I could see states going in this direction, and if we can have really good materials that really nail it, then they can just copy what we do, and it helps everybody. And to my other comment, we are also seeing in sailing this new phenomenon called foiling, where boats are rising out of the water, and they're going as fast as power boats. But if there's any cavitation, which means the foils are disturbed like a plane, they drop, and they go to like super slow. And so they go fast and slow at like dramatic speeds. And so, again, if you're a power boater and you're seeing somebody who's like ripping along and all of a sudden they're slow and you're trying to drive around them, if they have never even seen it, heard it, whatever, then, you know, that's something that's very difficult. And we're also seeing kite boarding now, and the kite boarders are foiling, and those really are like spiders, even for a sailor. And they're going to be in the Olympics. So they're, like, really cropping up. And it would be great if our materials, like these new things, can start reflecting that.
If I might add, we do have a really awesome sailing video as a resource. So while it might not currently be included in the safety course, and we'll definitely take those comments back for that, we do have that available as a resource for that. Yeah. We can get you a copy, too. No. Well, so you can see what we've done. Thank you.
If there's no other comments, thank you, Melissa.
Thank you very much.
Great presentation. We're still in the active public comment period, so if there's anybody from the public who, again, would like to address this body, If not, we will officially close the public comment period, and we're going to get into the administrative items portion of this agenda. We've already discussed having a special California Boating and Waterways Commission meeting to again address the Watercraft Revolving Fund, so I'm guessing that that will be noticed as we need to and following protocol, legal standards. We don't have a date as of yet, but it will be sometime in the next few weeks prior to our next scheduled Boating and Waterways Commission meeting, which we now have dates November 13th and 14th.
Yes. Great. So, Madam Chair, on those two, just to clarify, it would be considered an additional commission meeting and not a special commission meeting, because special goes into Bagley King, if I'm correct. So there's certain criteria that determines a special meeting. So it'll be an additional commission meeting for the record. And then on the dates for our November, we definitely have them scheduled for, I believe, November 14th, 15th. But in the request of the commission for kind of conjunction with the MRA, which is in October, I believe 21st through 23rd, we're going to look to see if we can accommodate that. So
Wonderful.
We'll be talking.
How soon would we know? Within the next week?
Probably within the next week or so, yes.
So then these dates then are no longer November 13th, 14th. We would change that. Okay.
Possibly, yes.
Okay. Yes, Commissioner
Madam Chair, yes, I think this is flexibility in action. But we have the prospect of two meetings, one so-called special but a regular meeting to deal specifically with the status of our revolving fund. And number two, our regular meeting. So we're talking possibly about two meetings.
Right.
So I'm saying one could be at the MRA in October, and one could be in accordance with our regular schedule in November, provided Parks and the administration feels that the input they want from us and the input we want from our constituents on the revolving fund, whether October or the MRA meeting is too late, we should be meeting sometime maybe next month. I'm just raising that, but
yes.
But certainly it would be logical, convenient to use the MRA date for one of the meetings and stay with the November meeting for our regular quarterly meeting.
Okay.
Just a suggestion.
Yes. Excellent suggestion, and duly noted, and we will wait for further direction from staff. Okay, we are now going to move into an action item. At this time, I'd like to move that this commission formally approve a formation of an ad hoc committee for a term of 1 year comprised of at least two commissioners, which shall be referred to as the Harbors and Watercraft Revolving Fund Planning Committee, to help oversee the study and report back to this commission on the progress again of this Harbors and Watercraft Revolving Fund shortfall issue. I would actually like to nominate, first and foremost, Vice Chair Commissioner Metz to serve as one of the two commissioners. I would also like to entertain if we have either Commissioner Peralta or Commissioner Pettibone, if you would like to serve. If not, I would take the second seat. Excellent. So Commissioner Pettibone will take that second seat. Actually, we're making nominations. So do we have to go through a process for...
Okay, Madam Chair, you need to do the nomination.
Formal motion to...
Yes, and then...
Okay. So I'm going to now officially nominate Vice Chair Metz and Commissioner Pettibone as the two commissioners who will serve on this ad hoc committee for the Harbors and Watercraft Revolving Fund shortfall issue. Roll call from Charlie, please.
There's a second. Yeah, you need a second.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought we had... Oh,
I second it.
He was a little early, but let's do it official.
Yeah. Okay, roll call. Commissioner Pettibone, how do you vote?
Aye.
Aye. Commissioner Frank Peralta, how do you vote?
Aye.
Aye. Vice Chair Metz, how do you vote?
Aye.
Aye. Chair Madueño, how do you vote?
Aye.
Aye. We have 4 ayes, 0 nays.
Thank you. We're going to be looking to the two of you to help us, and clearly it's an item that's very important obviously to us, to the department, but also to our stakeholders. So we look forward to getting some timely updates from you. So thank you for stepping up to the plate. We'd now like to take up any suggested items, and I know Commissioner Metz, Vice Chair Metz, you've already made some suggestions, but if you would like to clarify what you would like to see for the next agenda, we could put those on the record now.
No, in fact, my memory will not be adequate to the occasion, but we've had a report with respect to the voter card. We've had, several other updates that were promised along the line that are a part of the record, so I'm going to rely on the notes of staff and Ramona for that, but at least that satisfied my inquiry.
Yeah. Excellent. Commissioner Pettibone or Commissioner Peralta? If not, I think that concludes the rest of the items. And with that, I will officially adjourn this meeting. Thank you, everybody.